Good evening. Welcome to the Edge of Darkness. Back to the future. For time, my friends, is running out. Since June the 28th, 1995, I have been warning. I have been telling you so. That the phrase "the fall of America" suggests some cataclysmic event ended the American Empire, which is stretched from Maine to California and Florida to Washington. At the end, there was no straining of the gates, no barbarian horde that dispatched the empire in one fell swoop. Rather, the empire fell slowly as a result of challenges from within and without, and changing over the course of hundreds of years until its form was unrecognizable. These past 6.5 years or so have put pressure on this nation as has not been seen since both our American Revolution of the 1770s and our second revolution of the 1860s. For me, it has been the days of this week more than any before them. Frankly, friends, the 21 months I spent in Vietnam between 1968 and the beginning months after the Tet Offensive and ending in early 1970, not once, not a single time during that time did I feel the pressure nor the fear that I feel for this nation and our future that I feel today. As many of you know, I began broadcasting on shortwave radio on June the 28th, 1995. And I have remained on the air nearly every month since that day. In February of 1996, I went solo as a host of my own program. And I've never looked back. I'll not bore you with the rest of that history other than to state that all of which I have done on the air was meant to teach this nation's history. In most cases, in order to warn the listeners and the clients what the eventual ramifications would come to if we ignored all which this nation eventually came to be, in its greatest sense. But knowing all that I have studied and taught for all of these years, I also strongly warned exactly what would ultimately happen if we ignored those lessons of history. I've not come here today for the purpose of braggadocio, but to ask some simple questions. Why weren't the people listening? Why have the listeners and Americans as a whole ignored all that I and many others have continually warned of? After my broadcast of Wednesday night, January the 6th, 2021, I began seriously considering shutting down the Federal Observer, a website which had launched several weeks before 9/11. And so I began to review many of the warning-type articles which we had published on that site over the years. But unfortunately, was only able to go back as far as July of 2011. But, Bennett, why only 2011? If, in fact, we had begun publishing in 2001. At the end of 2009... Federal Observer was forced to move to a new host for our work. My longtime friend and associate felt that his platform could no longer handle the, at that time, over 70,000 postings that we had contributed. And hence we had to pull our entire database of said postings. Well, I still have most of them. Sometime, as time allows, we occasionally we'll repost some of those older articles dealing you know, on its current version of the site. But it is time-consuming, and yet you can still find some of them in the category on Federal Observer called Out of the Past, the archive edition. And yet, I sometimes ask myself, what the hell is the point? And then I answer my own question. The point is primarily to take you as far back as I am able. Just to remind you, how long has this been going on? Yeah, see? You knew that I had to make reference to music in here somehow. We'll see. Some of what I'm going to share with you today is something that I do fairly often on several of our websites, sometimes on a daily basis, many times far less. Most of what I'm about to share with you follows within this post. Pieces I actually republished as individual columns after a recent broadcast of several years ago. And yet have decided to embed each of these as headlines and links, which will take you to each of those profound commentaries, which in fact do go back as far as 2002. So you see, we found some. But then a question arises. Is it too late for us to salvage and restore the great republic that we once had? I don't know. But I'll probably go to my grave fighting for all that I've held so dear for these past 7+ decades. My friends, but remember, fighting is far more than just word games on a microphone or calling into your favorite talk show just to run your damn mouth. It also requires girding up your loins and being ready for battle. But the enemy is. And as I occasionally will close a program or an article that I post, I'll see you at sundown. Why? You better be prepared to live free or die. One of the set articles that I had come across in preparing this commentary, dated January 14th, 2002, wherein we stated that, let it be stipulated that what passes for conservatism today has very little to do with the genius vision of the founders of this nation. Those brave patriots who sacrificed life and property toward the establishment of a republic based upon the doctrine of limited governmental interference into the lives of its citizenry. And so I submit this question to you. Are we suicidal? Or merely so complacent or cowed and timid that we cannot recognize Jefferson's other major dictum, which was that when the people fear the government, there is tyranny. And when the government fears the people, there is liberty. It will be a bloody, awful tragedy were the Second Amendment, those fabled 8 million deer rifles, to stand as our very last recourse. February of 28th of 2017. An article entitled The Fractured Nation, written by my friend Charles Dickens. Simple. We're a fractured country. We live in fragmented communities. We don't know our neighbors, and we don't even know ourselves. for we lap up bullshit served up by a media with an agenda of disunity. And they speak, and the sheeple follow lemming-like right over the cliff. What does that mean to this country? Nothing at all, my friends. For we have averted our eyes from the goal, and now it's gone. It was stolen by those who prosper. Because we are not attentive. Think about that. We are not attentive. I continue to have issues when I read commentary like this. Oh, no, not because I'm in disagreement, my friends. Oh, God, Lord, no. Because I'm in full agreement. And then I go back to July 3rd of 2011, the evening before our so-called celebration of Independence Day, you know, the 4th of July, from Granny. What is true freedom and liberty? Where does it come from? Do you remember? As Granny began to write this weekend, we were hearing a lot about freedom and liberty. And many speeches would be made and columns written about the founding fathers and the patriots who gave their lives so that we may live in freedom and liberty in America. And a lot of columns at that time would be written quoting the founding fathers. And Granny continues by saying, I'm asking readers to really examine just how free are Americans today after all those lives that have been given in the quest for liberty and freedom. We hear so much about the sacrifices that the founding fathers and the American soldiers sacrificed on our behalf. And yet, in spite of all those lives, America seems to fall deeper into slavery and loss of liberty than ever before. Matters not who sits in the Oval Office or in the halls of Congress, for freedom and liberty keep fading further and further from view. And those who are sent to representative to represent us don't really represent us at all. Oh, no, they get back to those political halls and they obey the orders given to them by the ruling groups on both sides of those political aisles. And it's all a huge chess game with the pieces moved about in an effort to confuse and deceive we, the people. And after each session is over, we find that many more laws have been put into place that further restricts all of our freedoms and our liberties. Taxes have been added or increased to pay for the unconstitutional expenditures made by those who sit in charge. Look, the American Constitution was created for a godly and moral people, but the sad part is that the group of people has lost its way and taken a big bite from that forbidden fruit. They've taken it upon themselves to be their own gods and to worship all those things that God the Creator told us not to partake of. But we're paying the consequence for disobedience today with a great more to come, are we not? To me, true freedom, true liberty stems forth from one source. And true freedom and liberty was handed to us when Christ sacrificed his life on that cross on Golgotha, or as many know it, Calvary. He sacrificed everything in order to open the door to true freedom and true liberty for each of us who choose to truly be free. He did not do it by way of deception or lies as others have since. Christ is all about truth, my friends. And most human beings are far more concerned about their earthly lives, ignoring their eternal life. Should be just the opposite, but the loud, enticing voice of fun and games and comfort has superseded the call for sacrifice and obedience to God, the Father of all creation. We have, my friends, reached a point in America where most refer to that Independence Day holiday as the 4th of July. And instead of using the day to reflect upon what this nation was supposed to be and how far we have wandered from that original concept, we only think of barbecues and partying with or without booze, fireworks, anything other than what the day should be about. Think about those words. In today's world, we hear a lot about choice in America, usually in connection to a woman's right to choose abortion or death. God gave each of us real choice. He does not force anyone to make the choice he gives to us. It's up to each of us to make that choice. Eternal life with him or death via eternal separation from him. Granny says she hopes her words will have a positive effect upon those who hear this or read this. No big fireworks, drums beating, shouting, or other sounds. Just a prayer that these words will reach far into your spirit and stir that part of your being that hasn't been touched for many years, if ever. Yes, it's a very personal invitation to each from each of you from Granny. No one's ever going to know if you accept this invitation or reject it other than yourself and God. I do not say God bless America, Granny continues. I don't say that because I know he won't bless that which has kicked him out. And yet God will bless those who repent and ask him into their hearts, and he will give you the strength to withstand all that is coming to this earth and those upon it. Perhaps you walked with him and strayed. He'll take you back with open arms. Just ask, and you shall receive. Amazing. November 22nd, 2011. Joel Hirshhorn. Occupy Revolution. At the beginning of ultimately successful revolutions, the focus is almost entirely on what the rebels oppose and only in the most general terms, what they want instead. What rebels are always against is some form of tyranny that takes the form of repressed freedoms and economic pain for most ordinary people. In other words, it is clear at the beginning what causes citizen anger and passion, what is intolerable and far less on the exact changes in the nation's political and government system most desired. Mostly what is being fought for is either a true democracy or a better one. A system where elections are open and free and really matter. Where status quo powers can be replaced. Come on. The more you think about it, the more sense it makes for nascent rebels taking great risks to having a single-minded focus on what is wrong. Or unjust, corrupt, or just plain evil in order to build wide public support for fighting a powerful, oppressive government. December 9th, 2012, from my late friend J.D. Longstreet. And at that time, he was writing about the next American Civil War. America, J.D. began, says, is building ahead of steam, preparing to go to war with itself a second time at this very moment. This is not unusual. Not in America. We've already had two revolutions. Oh, you may recall the American Revolution against Great Britain in the second. The war for Southern independence, often erroneously referred to as the American Civil War, or the war between the states. And yet here we sit, 10 years ago. And J.D. writes that tensions were running high all across the country as citizens are rushing to arm themselves with the closest thing resembling combat weaponry they can possibly find. Ammunition of all calibers is disappearing from the shelves of gun shops, and back orders at the manufacturing plants are piled high. And ladies and gentlemen, here we sit damn near 10 years later, and the problems are even worse. The head of steam? War has already attacked us, and we're sitting back doing not a damn thing about it. March 10th, 2014. Talking about, from Ed Lewis, the useful idiots, a.k.a. the mindless bureaucrats destroying America. When informed, the people fear or just do not care, do not get involved, denying their duty to themselves, their families, their friends, and America. And how many people in this nation today are doing that same exact thing? Because in this sense, it is the people who are the useful idiots to a bunch of tyrants. Tyrants that are disguised by the ignorance of the people. And as for the officials and their enforcers, keeping their jobs depend on whether they play their part in the scheme, a long-term scheme controlled by the powers that remain hidden behind a curtain of deceit. Oh, and those officials who are out there are damn sure playing the game today. We're but weeks away from the midterm elections. Oh, wow, what's going to happen? We're going to vote more of the same a-holes into office. April 2nd, 2014. Talking about the Democrats' 60-year war against conservative voices. Talking about the IRS's ongoing effort to stifle conservative speech. Only the latest in 60 years of Democrat efforts to marginalize conservatives. And in this latest attempt, the Democrats have proved willing to give up several valued parts of their agenda, including funding for pre-kindergarten, funds for the IMF, more dollars for Obamacare at the time, all in order to keep proposed new IRS rules that would institutionalize the harassment of Tea Party groups under investigation. Oh, who thinks about the Tea Party any longer? Oh, no, every other day it's more headlines about January 6th. Keep this in mind. December 27th, 2015. We live in a confusing world of anxiety, hate, greed, deceit, immorality, where governments throughout the world are nothing but rotting cesspools of psychotic despots, desperately clinging to power while using any means necessary to keep the masses sedated and docile. Good people, noble intentions, they still exist in this decadent world. But they don't seek power or have any say in the government of this world. For the oppressed are hopelessly enslaved in debt and keep submissive by welfare transfers from the corrupt state, dumbed down by the state education system, amused by technological gadgets and vacuous entertainment, and kept in perpetual fear of seen and unseen enemies. We are told who to hate, who to fear, who to love, and who to believe by a nameless, faceless state run by a people we didn't elect. constituting the invisible government. For the odds are never in our favor. February 17th, 2016. Speaking about a 1924 newspaper article which outlined six goals of the Illuminati. These days, the concept of the Illuminati is much less a shadowy secret society bent on world domination than a, frankly, just a cruel inside joke that MTV has played out with borrowed symbolism. Ah, but back in 1924, people were very worried about the Illuminati's plans to take over the world by destroying it. The article which we posted back then, on June the 21st, 1924, was the edition of the Joplin Globe laid bare the six principles or goals of the Illuminati. Have you read it? Do you care to? When this program concludes tonight, I want you to go to Federal Observer and read in its entirety and follow each one of the links. The article entitled 2022 Back to the Future, for time is running out, is the basis of this entire program tonight. But then we still have more to go, don't we? Stay with us. We'll be back in a few moments.
I could cry salty tears. Where have I been all these years? Little while, tell me now, how long has this been going on? There were tears and some thrills I can't define. Listen, sweet, I repeat, how long has this been going on? Oh, I feel that I could melt into heaven. I'm hurled. I know how Columbus felt finding another world. Kiss me once, then once more. What a dance I was before. What a break, for heaven's sake. How long has this been going on? Let's make it four. What a break, for heaven's sake. How long has this been going on?
It's been going on far too long. I told you I'd get back to you with the music thing. November 29th, 2016. Each of these dates that I've shared with you tonight are the dates of publication of a range of these articles which we've included from our archives. One of those which we've addressed in numerous different postings fits where we are today. In the relative opening of this program tonight, as we have done on numerous programs, we start with this quotables that we have on Federal Observer, which states the phrase, "The fall of America suggests some cataclysmic event, ended the American empire," etc., etc. But in honesty, I've shared with you in the past that when I share that entire quote, it actually comes from a book entitled The Fall of Rome. End of empires. What's the difference, Rome versus America? The populace is just as stultified and easily distracted now as it was back then, my friends. The year was 451, and the Battle of Chalons, also known as Catalonian Fields and Campus Martius, was fought between a coalition of Roman legionaries, Germanic Visigoths, and Gauls against the Huns. Flavius Aetius was the Roman commanding general, and he led his forces to defeat Attila, king of the Huns, commander of the Hun armies. And the loss caused Attila to withdraw and to skirmish into Italy, but again, this time through diplomacy and concessions, he withdrew in 452, returning into what is now modern Hungary. Attila died in 453, and the Hun menace to Europe had ended. Aetius had been the declining and fragmented Western Roman Empire's best chance to restructure itself. Aetius had fought in Gaul and throughout Italy and Europe for decades, sometimes even with support from the Huns before Attila began his quest for empire. Master strategist he was. Tactician, diplomat, warrior. Effectively stemmed the collapse of the Western Roman Empire for another 25 years. In all probability, he may have been able to turn things around for a longer period of time, but this was not to be, as he was assassinated by none other than the Emperor Valentinian III and his henchman Heraclius on September the 22nd of the year 454. And the emperor killed the very man who had protected and assured his throne, and worse. For now there was no true strategist to take the reins of military command. The last great Roman general was no more, and the Western Roman Empire continued to decline and fragment. And Odoacer, a half-Hunnish barbarian general, rallied forces to mutiny against their and his previous commander, Orestes, the Roman senior military general, in the Battle of Pavia on August 23rd of the year 476. Orestes was captured and killed. And less than 2 weeks later, on or about September 4th of 476, Romulus Augustulus, the last Roman Empire, the son of Orestes, was deposed by Odoacer. less than 25 years after the Battle of Chalons had given it a fighting chance. The Western Roman Empire was no more. You see, the city of Rome had formerly been sacked by the Visigoths in 410, after they had originally arrived outside of the gates in the year 408, and Rome, the surrounding countryside. And although the city had been taken, it had not been burnt to the ground, with the Senate being the only edifice of note that had been razed. And that's because the Visigoths were Christians and held reverence for the churches and the city's predominance as the center of the Christian church. And the legions had already been withdrawn from Britannia, or Britain. And interaction and mutual commerce there had ceased by the year 410. And so the period that Aetius drew the Western Roman Empire from the brink of collapse occurred during the years of 424 to 450, when for the first two decades he battled the Gallic and Germanic tribes throughout all of Europe in various calculated surgical campaigns. And the culmination of his efforts came at Catalonian fields in 451. But most historians agree that although a decisive battle and turning point, Aetius' main work had been accomplished in the two decades prior to that. And so now, my friends, here we sit. As history repeats itself in the last days of the American Empire, we're now ready to assume the purple, ascend to the seat of power. Just some years ago, Donald Trump was going to command and lead, ha ha, we hope. The campaigns for the midterm elections began in November of 2017. Therefore, Trump had less than 1 year at the time of this writing to begin to reverse the devastation wrought by two consecutive Obama terms that had, in 8 years, placed this country on its deathbed and measured it for burial. And yet in Donald Trump's 4 year term of office, did he do the job that Aetius did for Rome in two decades, with the last year of that term being wasted on the primary focus of his reelection? What became the difference between Rome and America? The vast geographical area, influxes of alien migrants, a faltering economy, a military less than its best, immorality, vice, corruption at every turn, societal degradation in a welfare state, and foreign nations ready to pounce characterize both empires. So Trump's been out of office for some time. What has Joey done? Yeah, well, forget Joey. Joey's done nothing. A live microphone today heard Joey hollering out to the audience, "You can't fuck a Biden." Those were his exact words. Excuse my language. It's the profound level that we've come to in this country, my friends. At the time of this writing, our author said that because in order to restore the United States, there is one thing Trump will have to do that Aetius could not do for Rome: change the mindset of society and propel the people into a consciousness of individual control over themselves, and the reversal of a moral and community decline of their own accord. What did the odds makers in Vegas place on that being able to be accomplished? As with anything dealing with Vegas, your guess was as good as mine. But keep in mind that as long as money and power back the throne can never be fully effective. And as long as the populace can be bought off with their own money and welfare exists, the public will stagnate and never reach their full potential to rejuvenate the failing society. Which exactly how many years later since this writing? November 29th of 2016. And the nation has faltered. In order to bet for restoration is a bet against human nature, the very thing that can prevent it. Will we go the way of Rome? We already have, people, in most regards. The spectacles of the Flavian Amphitheater, the Colosseum, the Circus Maximus have been supplanted with the reality television shows and Monday Night Football. I don't know what it is. My wife turns on this stupid Bachelor show. That show has turned into a pseudo-polite sexual contest now. Our kids don't need to be watching this garbage. Hell, my wife doesn't need to be watching this garbage. I won't watch it. What we're dealing with in this nation today, my friends, a populace just as stultified and easily distracted now as it was back in the days with Rome. Yeah, everyone's looking out for their own interest instead of the nation's. When the population degrades morally, and socially and intellectually, then any nation truly dies and fades away. Sometimes long before the actual date of collapse. The cycle continues. And America is not immune from it. You see, in simple terms, what did I just do? I shifted a stupid thing. When the population degrades morally, socially, and intellectually, then any nation truly dies and fades away, sometimes long before the actual date of collapse. The cycle continues, my friends. America's not immune from it. Rome had its twilight period, and they staved off the fall for 25 years. America is in the twilight period right now. Do we have the time? Probably not. Time may well have gone. I'm going to take a break, a very unusual break. I've asked Michael to pull a piece of music up for us. It says so much. We're not going to use it to close the program. We're going to use a piece of music right now. Maybe, just maybe, it will make you think, pray. It's unbelievable. Live free or die. It is interesting to somehow trip across a piece of writing like this. Stay with us. I'll be back in a couple of minutes.
These are the days of the open hand. We will not be the last. Look around now.
These are the days of the beggars and the choosers. This is the year of the hungry man, whose place is in the past. Hand in hand with ignorance and legitimate excuses, the rich declare themselves poor, and most of us are not sure if we have too much, but we're taking our chances, say. I sang 20 years and a day, but nothing changed. The human race found some other guy and walked into the flames. It's hard to love. Jesus is so much to hate. Hanging on to a wall, there is no hope to speak out. In the wounded sky above, say it's much too late. Then maybe we should all be praying for time.
Into the flames. It's hard to love. Jesus is so much to hate. Hanging on to a wall, there is no hope to speak out. In the wounded sky above, say it's much too late. Then maybe we should all for time. Do we have the time? It is an important question. We have time if we are prepared to act as human beings, as fellow citizens, as people who are fed up with the crap
You all know what I've gone through for this past year. Much of it is mental. Much of it is because of the battles we've spoken of tonight. There are those issues that deal with the health maladies that I've suffered. I've spent some 30 minutes on the phone today with my doctor, an appointment that was scheduled to last 15 minutes. But he and I have a very interesting relationship, and I had quite a bit of questions for him, some history to share with him over what's taken place with me in the last couple of weeks. And frankly, he's angry about it. He's a doctor who nears the end of his career because he's fed up with the profitability. He's fed up with the fact that there's nothing going on with the words of Hippocrates, do no harm. And yet, what are we facing each and every day? Harm. Back to the future. For time is running out. And that is the title of tonight's program. And I hope that when it becomes available, you will go pick up the archives and share it with as many people as you possibly can. And I certainly invite you to go and read if you care to reread. Follow all the sub-articles that we posted, the links, although we shared with you the most important portions of each and every one of them. Yesterday and today are the first times that I've been back on the air live for several weeks. There's things turning in my gut more so than they have in a very long time. And I'm not going to continue this argument, these fights. And you need to join these fights. And don't sit back there saying, when's somebody going to do something? My question to you is, when are you going to do something? Recently, I have once again been giving serious consideration of just saying screw it and shutting down Federal Observer. I prefer to throw more of my efforts into the work of the Kelly website or even metropolis.cafe. That's for another day. We reach merely the end of our time with tonight's program. Lord willing, I'll be back with you again tomorrow night. I certainly hope so. And coming up this Friday, an interesting special musical program. A program that was done live in Chicago back in the 1960s. Maybe it'll get you going. Because don't forget, Friday night is the one night you take a little bit of time and spend it with your loved ones, your family, your wife, your husband. Imbibe if you care to do so. And enjoy life. In a roundabout way, we close this program tonight with music from the movies Back to the Future. They fit. Thanks for being with us tonight. I'll see you at sundown. Good night. Oh, okay.
are you going to wait till the cows come home to get your new ease-off drop-in lift?
What in the world is an ease-off drop-in lift?
Our ease-off is a new tool to increase production for your meat processing company that will get that whole hog or half a beef on or off your rail with our remote control.
That sounds great, but can I afford it?
Sure, and the ease-off installs fast. The effortless operation will reduce fatigue, speed up your line, and increase profits.
Okay, I'm convinced. Where can I get my ease-off?
Go to easeoff.com. That's EAZEOFF.com. And hurry, because we're offering free shipping for a limited time. Easeoff.com. We make pigs fly. Cows, too.
Easeoff, LLC, 417-932-6419.
You're listening to Real Talk Radio. Only on the Republic Broadcasting Network.